You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, the New Churches Podcast, again, with another exciting episode. They're all exciting. Not like another exciting. They're all exciting, because I think they're important. And we're having good conversations. It's so encouraging to me how many times church planters share that this has been a helpful resource for them. So we've got Dean Foulkes back. He's been a lead pastor at LifePoint since 2004, planted that church, planted lots of churches out of that. He's got a Master of Divinity from Mid-America Seminary in Memphis, got a minor, he likes to say, in Memphis Barbecue, married to Angie. They have three kids. And we're going to talk about, if you listened to the last episode, which is, you know, in your flow of things was a few episodes ago, but you can find it just, you know, look at your app and look back a few episodes if you're jumping ahead. But in the last episode, we talked a lot about sending out groups of people. Church multiplication, in some ways, it's like hiving off when you send a large group. You can plant a pastor and a church at the same time. A little different maybe than parachute drop church planting, statistically actually far more effective than parachute drop church planting. Mm. So we talked some about that. But there's a cost to the mother church. Now, the sending church, whatever term you want to use, different denominations use different things to define the church that sends people out. But there's almost an easier way. And I think one of the reasons that a lot of people end up as solo entrepreneurial church planters who, to use our internal language, parachute drop into a community. The reason that that's the case is because I think sometimes it's hard to convince established churches to plant new churches because it's less costly to send money and let some entrepreneurial young couple go out and plant a new church than it is actually to, well, send some of our own people away. So that's the joy and the tension that I want us to talk some about that today. So let's just jump in. Dean, church multiplication, you know, comes with its own sets of challenges and tensions. What are some tensions you've encountered and how have you navigated them?
Yeah, I think the apostolic leaders tend to want to make a significant difference fast. And so one of the tensions in multiplications is just frequency. So how fast can you multiply? And after, this is probably a bad analogy, but I talk about it like it's an injury. Yeah. So we tend to try and send 10%. If we're gonna multiply out, we try and multiply out 10% of our congregational number on Sundays. That's more like an injury, and that takes time to heal. And especially for our team, I was having this conversation with Dahati Lewis one time, and he and I were just comparing notes, and he said, you know, in some ways, the church, their blueprint in Atlanta was an experiment in how fast you could multiply rapidly by sending people without compromising the long-term success and ministry of the local congregation. So I definitely think that one of the challenges for apostolic leaders is just the frequency, because we will tend to faith things sometimes much more easily than our churches will. And I remember Dahati saying to me one time that they had an all-church meeting, and he said basically it was a revolt. That people said, listen, we don't care how much you want to plan again, we're not ready, and right, we're not going to be ready for a while. And so you just have to be careful that you don't take advantage of your staff members, because they have to rebuild teams from the people who leave. And then certainly the other issue is just development. You internally, to operate at one location, your development system doesn't need to be nearly as strong as it does if you're rapidly sending. So development becomes an issue as well. That's always a tension.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel all those tensions and kind of some of that journey. The injury is a little, I tend to think of it, because I like the mother church metaphor. It's like, how many times can you have a baby? You need a little time between babies. So, mm-hmm. You know, when we planted two churches one day. We had twins. I mean, the recovery time was a little longer with twins. But, you know, but you can get, and I encourage, you can get to a rhythm once a year. Not, might not be the worst rhythm, but you can get to that rhythm. But there is definitely a recovery time. The problem is, for a lot of people, they don't even get to, they can't convince themselves of the planting new churches is worth it. So let's talk a little bit about that. So knowing that there's a cost to send people out, in what ways do you think we persuade people to do that? Because what we know is the vast, vast majority of people are not. Vast majority of churches are not sending out people to plant new churches.
Yeah, I think the cost of the mission is offset by the vision of the mission. So the value. So when you stay in one location and you are constantly trying to cast out in front of folks, hey, this is why you should. This is why you should care. This is why you should follow the Great Commission. This is why. One of the great things about multiplication is the answers, the life change story to the this is why just gets multiplied time and time and time. Again, we sent a college student out with our first multiplication in 2013 because we thought, hey, we thought he has some potential. We had no idea how much potential that he had. Today, he leads one of our multiplications that, you know, from a size culture perspective, and it's not all about size culture, but, you know, Kale and Morgan are leading a local congregation of 900 to 1,000 people, doing an incredible, incredible job. So a lot of it in the beginning, I do think it really is faith until you experience it, but then you get to experience the joy of watching people live into their giftedness. And at some point, Kale is, you know, a guy like Kale, a young lady like Morgan, they're going to leave. Like, they're going to go somewhere and do something. So why not help them? And why not get to be part of the story as opposed to them having to move to a different state or do, you know, whatever? Because, you know, if you're one church in one location, at the level of gifting and calling that he had, he was going to have to move on at some point.
Right. And I think that's a key thing is that if people always have to leave to step into what God has called them the next level of leadership, then sometimes that's kind of not a kingdom mentality when the kingdom mentality would be, well, let's find ways to bless others on that journey and on that path. I think that makes a big difference. So, all right. So then what role, like as you as the pastor, or let's just make it more generic, pastors and church leaders, what role do those people play in maintaining joy, managing tensions in kind of the process of church multiplication? Like I said, you had some people come and say no, or others, you gave examples of someone said no. Dahati, I think you were giving the example of Dahati. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what would be the role of the leader in that?
Yeah, I think that is that's the recovery period. That's where you really need to lean into. And it's one of the reasons that we don't have we're going to plant 10 churches in 10 years, or, you know, 20 churches and whatever X time period. And we just really try to follow the Henry Blackaby method and say, you know what, we're going to find God's activity. We're going to join it wherever we see it. If that's, you know, 18 months ago, we launched 2 in 1 year.
Yeah.
This year, we don't have any on the dot. There's nothing in front of us right now. So I think that you're not under human pressure at that point, and you allow God to determine what's that recovery period like. And so most times when people come to you and say, we shouldn't, or too much, what has happened is they've lost a key critical relationship most of the time. A good friend, a mentor, someone who's invested in them is going a separate, it's a Paul and Barnabas kind of moment, hopefully not to that level of conflict, but somebody that you've loved, you've done ministry alongside, has decided they're going to go with the multiplication. At that point, really, you just, you know, you have to, you know, shift into shepherding mode and understand this is really a place of pain. This is not a criticism of vision. It's not a criticism of you. It's just hurt.
Yeah. And it is hard sometimes because people, you know, I mean, you are, when you do multiplication, you're kind of messing up with something that people have really valued. I mean, they want to be in this community. They want to go to this other community as well. Okay. But that being said, let's talk some about, because there's sometimes when you plant a church, you know, I don't know Columbus super well, but I said in the last episode, I think Columbus is a super cool city. But you know, the Columbus has neighborhoods and communities, and there's cultural differences between those that might come up. There's sometimes some You know, I'm guessing, Dean, that you and I don't have 100% the same theological view on everything.
What?
I know. Well, you know, you're not far from the kingdom, but, you know, it's not. And I don't even know. Maybe we do. Yeah. I guess we got to share a lot in common. So how do you help address some of those culture? I guess we should divide them. How do you address some of the culture issues from place to place, from group to group? And then we'll ask some of the how much theological difference can there be and it be okay? But let's do the cultural first.
Yeah. So culturally speaking, Columbus is not all that different from a city like Indianapolis, St. Louis. Like, we're all Midwest. There's a lot of whole rust, you know, a lot of rust in our belts here. So it's not all that different in that we are a city of communities, and every community has a separate group of norms. And, you know, I hesitate to call it a separate culture. There are enough similarities around town, but people don't enjoy leaving their community. You know, if you're in Worthington, for example, which was our last multiplication, you know, the reason we went to Worthington is because we had people coming from Worthington, and people don't want to leave Worthington. When you invite a friend to go to church 10 miles away or 15 miles away or 20 miles, you know, whatever, why do I have to drive there, go there to go to church? Why can't I just go to church here in my own community? And so you answer so many of those culture, community questions by sending into that community, which for us is more so gathered around school districts, community norms, names, you know, certainly not as much around zip codes necessarily here. But people want to be from somewhere. I'm from Westerville. I'm from Dublin. I'm from wherever.
Yeah. Okay. So there's some distinction, but not shocking differences. Right. And sometimes there's cross-cultural church plants and core groups you send out. It's a little harder to send out a people in a full cross-cultural experience if they're coming out of your church because they've already culturally sort of engaged in that church. So what about theological distinctions? How aligned do you have to be or not have to be for you to plant a church?
Yeah. So, you know, we have a theological document, the Baptist Faith and Message, 2000. And, you know, as far as, you know, we're part of the SEND network. So really that's where we have to align theologically.
Right. So you're not all of our listeners in the same denomination. So you have a confessional or doctrinal statement and you basically say that you have to align with this, but there's still there are people who are, you can be a cessationist, and you can actually believe all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and practice some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can be reformed and you can be, well, not reformed. You can't be full Arminian, but those are sort of within that. So you've got the doctrinal statement. What about some of those other issues?
Yeah, I think that because we mainly grow up planters, grow up teams from inside, to be honest with you, that's just not an issue because we're planting mainly with our folks.
Right. You're planting in your denomination. I will tell you fun story. I think that church planting, theological traditions need to tend their own garden. I don't think that like my church, we never planted a Presbyterian church because it would go great until the first baptism. And then you don't know if you need a cup or a tub. Or for that matter, you know, I love my Pentecostal friends who believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit with initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues. And I would think that if we planted a church that was Pentecostal, people would want to lean in on that. And so, but I have supported church plants of other denominations because I'd love to see more of them. But when it's birthed, to use that birth metaphor from our church, it tends to be more theologically aligned. So again, so by raising people up, you have less of those differences. But could somebody be, you know, more reformed, very driven by reformed theology and that's okay. And then less driven and that's okay. Just to use an example that seems to be in the tradition, it seems to be a little more space for that.
Yeah. That's definitely, we would have guys who are part of our church plants, ladies who are part of our church plants, who are going to fall into a range when it comes to that. I do think one thing that is important, and this is not certainly not original with me, right? I learned this in attending, you know, Redeemer City to City. One of the things I was amazed by is that they were able somehow to bridge denominations together in planting in some ways. And so last Sunday, for example, you know, we prayed for 4 or 5 different other churches by name from the stage on Sunday, because, you know, the value, we were talking about evangelism this past Sunday, and we wanted to say, hey, look, we don't believe that we are the church in our community. We're not the one church that God is, you know, using. Like, we're glad to be part of a fabric of churches that are part of a fabric of denominations and expressions. And certainly there are core issues, right, that are there theologically, but we realize, recognize, and understand that, just like you said, we have brothers and sisters that are part of other denominations that God is using very effectively, and we're glad to be part of it.
Yeah, and you can pray together, you can do evangelism together, you have the same views on the gospel, but church planting, I mean, it's just a place where people need to and probably should tend their own gardens. Okay, last question. What role does innovation and adaptability play in the context of church multiplication? How are you be innovative and flexible while maintaining some of those core values?
Yep. One of the things for us in planting and multiplying that is critical, the word we use it a lot, I'm sure others use it a lot, just the idea of collaboration. So when we innovate together, which allows for, or maybe not even allows for, it's necessary to be flexible in terms of your approach, methodology, because regardless, again, of your size culture, you know, if we would have looked at, again, Cale and Morgan from the beginning and said, well, you know, they've just got to sit on the bench and they've got to learn for a while. That's an approach. But rather, if you put them in a developmental role and probably give them a little too much, you give them a little too much to do. You give them a few pounds too many to lift in some ways. And I think what we found is a lot of times the best innovation comes from there. Like, one of the great things about multiplication and church planting is that you can try new things and you can learn a lot of new things as well. But then you have to collaborate well. You have to listen well. And you know, you've got to commit really to continue to learn.
Fascinating. And you have done that very thing. Super thankful for you, Dean. Thanks for taking the time to be with us on, well, another episode of the New Churches Podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, make sure you like or leave a review wherever you download your podcast. Thanks.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.